Well, 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 hello and welcome back to the hour of the month that we all look forward to. And it's another Climb to Your Prime with Dr. Haim, the man and the one and the only, all the way from from Tasmania this time. So it's the other side, it's the other island. So I'm learning the geography here. am I going
to the bottom of Australia? Yes. How are you, Hurricane?
I'm doing terrific. I mean, you know, we've had a little challenging start of the night, but hey, things happen. You know, that's actually a lesson, you know, to everybody who's watching and listening. You know, the S word happens. I mean, shit does happen every now and then. And, you know, it's just how we tackle it. And a bunch of stuff happened in the last 15 minutes. And Dr. Haim was gracious and patient with me to get all this stuff rolling. And so I appreciate that, Doc. Thank you so much. We're here. So this is actually the show's dedication. We got to make this happen no matter what. So the momentum continues. And we had it early this month. It was awesome show. Actually, I watched that show about three times already, and I listened to it over and over, and there's plenty of stuff. And, it's amazing that, in terms of what's happening in Australia as far as social media and all that, the more I thought about it, the more I think that we should all have that somewhere in the States or everywhere. I mean, I think we should have that limitation as to who gets into the social media. And that's just a little, debrief on the last show. For those of you who haven't watched it yet, do check it out on YouTube, listen to it on Radio Rumble, whatever. We're all over the place. So find us, click the link, in Instagram if you're watching here. And or have fun with us and follow. But so that was a discussion last week. So, of course, Climb to Your Prime is mental health time. So this is your time. We get live questions, for those people who want to join us. But we also get questions that Dr. Haim is more than happy to answer and gives us quite a bit of way of handling life in all its way. And it's funny because I just happened to have a whole situation before and, Doc just gave me a couple of things, pointers. I'm like, I should always be with you because every time I have a little dilemma, I just have to, point at you and do stuff. Hey, Caroline, she's watching us right now on Instagram. Hello. How you doing? All right. So that being said, Doctor, are we ready to roll with some of the questions? And we got some heavy ones.
Okay. Well, as heavy as they are, Hurricane, let's start carrying them.
I love that. All right, so let me see. I'm going to start with the way it shows on the chat is like it breaks down, but let's do this. So this is going to have two parts, I think. So here we go. All right. Why do people simply forget all the great achievements over the years and focus on the one bad thing someone does or mistake they make, an error, a fault? One can win a championship, be a star, be a great leader, but at the first fail or mistake, people will criticize, judge, and prosecute and easily throw them under the bus and turn against them. Is this being grateful or hypocritical? Monica L.A. I see you smiling, so let's dive in.
Okay. So, Hurricane, first I've got to thank Monica for the question, because what Monica is talking about is real, that we do tend to focus on the negatives rather than the positives. We can achieve everything, or we can have a wonderful night, but if there's one person that we don't get on with, we will remember that over the 20 people that we did get on with. And so this is actually well known in human beings. And look, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry that we're like this. It makes me feel hard that we've got to go through this. But the answer actually has to do with our survival. So, Monica, what you've actually articulated is something that we call negative bias. So, in other words, our brain is actually wired to look at what goes wrong and focus on that for a longer time than what goes right. And if you take us back into the wild or a time when we didn't have all our modern conveniences, we'll understand why. And the thing is that if there are threats out there that can kill us, if there are threats that can take us down, then if we do anything wrong, then we will actually focus on that. We will focus on the time when we didn't cook the meal properly. We can focus on the time when we didn't secure the roof properly. We can focus on the time when we didn't look out for those tigers and lions properly, because they can kill us. So our survival is at stake. Whereas with the things that go right, they don't affect our survival as much, but they feel good. And we want more things to go right and go rather than go wrong. But here's the good news, Monica. We can rewire our brain because our brain learns so much from negative things and learn from positive things. We can make a choice. We can actually focus ourselves to go, okay, things are actually going okay. I am safe in today's society. I can start to focus on what goes right rather than what goes wrong. But that takes a choice. And in the brain, making that choice, because it's a conscious choice, it takes more energy, whereas a subconscious habit of just focusing on the negatives doesn't take much energy. It's like a default automatic pilot, if you like. So what I would let people like Monica know is that if we can decide to make that choice, and it really means things like taking yourself by the scruff of the neck and sort of saying, listen, today, focus on the positives just a little bit more. Think about your achievements just a little bit more. Think about the people who love you rather than the people who don't like you so much. Just a little bit more, and your brain will get a bit more of this feeling that we want, that we call happiness.
Well, hold on. So, doctor, I mean, I'm listening to you, and I understand the concept, but in a way, I mean, it kind of bothers me to. Like as a person, right? That no matter what you do, like, you know, we're trying to put a positive spin in the world, right? You know, and make a difference, right? But no matter what, I mean, I see this all the time. People are doing great stuff and they put in a lot of good, you know, output in the world, but then they make just one slight mistake and that's all what people actually, you know, haunt. It's like they're waiting for that fail so they can actually butcher you and beat you up to death and bully you. And I think that's really where I am, you know, kind of caught and stuck with, right? Because why? I mean, if someone's good, you got to give them benefit of doubt. Things happen. We're human after all, right? I mean, there's a way for us to make a mistake and none of us is perfect. We should just maybe give that. I mean, I get the survival. That's just the instinct and that's the way we're designed. But we also have a mind and a conscience that helps us guide us in terms of decision making. And I think we're capable of making some of those assumptions and also denying those assumptions. Listen, I mean, I know Dr. Haim, you know, you said it yourself really, you and I were talking, you know, you're having a bad day. Things happen, right? You know, you didn't say like, well, you shouldn't have a bad day. I mean, because, you know, you're hurricane, right? You know, it's that kind of thing, right? It's us making that decision. It's a conscious decision when we point the finger one way or the other. There are a lot of people, literally, they just wait for somebody to kind of, you know, to trumble or stumble on something or, you know, fail. And then, hey, gotcha. That's like a aha moment, like for them, like, you know, it's exciting, you know. But see, that to me, that's not survival. That's just being bad. I mean, am I getting this picture right?
Okay. So first thing I got to say, Hurricane, is I struggle with it too. Everybody actually struggles with it. And unfortunately, there is a simple narrative that says being positive is good and being negative is bad. And it's actually more complex than that. Because what I explained about survival is something that's going to be common to all of us. So in other words, all of us have what's called a negative bias. We are all negative by nature, if you like. However, what happens is when we start looking for the negative in other people, now this is actually a really complex process, but it's part of Monica's question, so we'll talk about it. It's called projection. Mm. So if it's bad for me to make mistakes because my survival is at stake, and I'm looking out for mistakes that I make, and I'm hard on myself, and the more I learn about human nature, Hurricane, we're actually all hard on ourselves. But then what happens, and particularly in the environment of social media, we start to project being hard on other people. Okay, so people can be doing quite well, and then all of a sudden they do something wrong. And as you say, we're there to show how bad they are. We're there to show the mistakes that they made. And there's a few things going on with that. Firstly, we'd like to be doing well. Mm. And secondly, because doing something negative or making a mistake is linked to failure more often and is linked to our survival, we hone in on that. But as you said, we've all got consciousness. We can all make a decision to sort of say, hey, let's cut us a little slack. Let's know that we are in this together. And if we survive together, we can thrive together. So in other words, if we're actually gentler with each other and more understanding, we'd actually enjoy life more. But here's the catch, and here's a catch for Monica too. That takes energy of being in the conscious mode. So in other words, what scientists like to call the task active mode, you've actually got to engage your brain and say, this is what I am going to do, but it takes conscious effort. Whereas just being in what we call the default mode, just letting your mind take over the way that it wants to so that it feels comfortable, that doesn't take much energy. It's like the difference between watching television or watching a game of tennis on television and actually playing the game yourself. Playing the game takes a lot more energy than just sitting back and watching it. So we've got to put in that energy to make a decision to say, yeah, I'm going to be more cooperative and kinder on the people around me than I normally would be.
Thank you, Doc. Well, you know, it's amazing, right? Because if you, you obviously know this, anyone watching, I mean, we do have a business channel as well, and we talk sometimes business, and in the business world and leadership world, I mean, we want people to be more conscious about, you know, their employees and behave with them in a way. I mean, you can't just fire people, for example, because they make a mistake, right? You know, that's not, you know, I mean, we hear those cases, but really a true leadership and true management is when you take someone and you kind of consult with them, help them, advise them, guide them. You know, you don't reprimand, you know, unless, I mean, it's really something that is not, you know, fixable, right? But there are techniques and studies that emphasize on that approach, you know, to get more out of your employees and your staff members and teammates, right? It's the same thing in life. I mean, it's that same practice that we should have in this. Like if something happens, like, you know what, maybe Hurricane just having a bad day, right? You know, he slipped. I mean, we talked about anger before. We talked about, you know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. And sometimes you think that people will just like, hey, you know what, tap on the shoulder. Listen, you got this. You just, it's just no worries. No failure here. Make it happen. Things will be better. But you do have some predatory ones that are literally just kind of like, when does he make the mistake so I can jump in? I mean, really, it's like they're waiting for that, you know, they put in that whole noose and just waiting for you to pull so they can just hang you, right? It's that kind of thing. So it is amazing. Again, as you said, Doc, you know, we have the ability to work these things, but you have to be like proactive. You have to be putting the work because it is a lot easier. And I think this leads us to that same last discussion of last time is about social media. I think we have a lot more of this problem than ever because of social media. It's just easy, you know, to bash someone. It's easy. And I see this. I mean, I see some, you know, nice rising stars on social media. They're doing their stuff and they're like looking good. And all of a sudden they make one comment or something and their life changes. And here comes, you know, the buzz. I mean, everybody wants to get their excitement. And it's funny. It's not, a lot of people are not even bringing anything to the table that's new. They just take that information and they spin it their way and they criticize and they have, everybody's got an opinion about everybody out there anytime. I bet you one day they'll have us on their radar too. But you know what? Bring it on. Actually, if you do that, I'll bring you on the show and we can have some fun with you. But that's another story. But you know what? Again, you know, it's a true story, Doug. I want to share this. So when I was in college and university, so we had a program and it's like an initiation week. And at the end of that initiation week, you know, like, so the whole week that you get bullied a little bit, you know, to a degree by your, I guess, the seniors, right, in the university. And so the job of your job is to kind of maintain cool throughout the whole time while this is going. And there's a heavy day where it gets real crazy and you got to like just absorb stuff. And at the end of that day, you know, somebody gets crowned to actually, you know, be the king or the queen. There's a couple that gets, you know, crowned. Of who was able to take the most punishment and absorb it without any reaction and lashing back. And guess who was the king? Yours truly. You know.
Well done. Well done.
but the reason I'm saying it's not so much to give me a pat on the shoulder, but the idea is that, you know, you can dish things, you know, to people, but, you know, some people have a heavier skin than others and some people will actually have more absorption. They don't take the negative vibe. Now, you know, I can push that as much as I can. Now, again, there's limitations where, you know, you can go, but I think we all have the ability to do so. But not everybody does, because I've seen people really crashing in social media crying and having issues because of this type of bullying behavior or this type of like, you know, hey, catch your moment, you know, like, you know, you suck. Or like we hear it with stars and, you know, like, you know, real famous people around the world, they, you know, paparazzi goes after them and it's over, right? You know, they drive them nuts.
Yep.
You know, so that's really a challenge in life. But there is a practice that actually almost negates all that, even in the business world and the real practice. I think we should all kind of take a lesson in leadership in life. Hopefully, we'll default to the better side of ourselves. What do you think, Doc?
Okay, that's really good, Hurricane. In fact, I'm glad that you brought up the business world because to unpack some of the things that you said there and to illustrate what's going on, I'm going to take a business example, and we're going to go into the brain of an employee and a boss. Okay. Now let's set up a scenario where an employee has made a mistake that has costed boss thousands and thousands of dollars. Okay. Now we're going to go into the brain of the boss, and the brain of the boss is angry, and the brain of the boss doesn't like losing all this money. And the brain of the boss feels like letting this employee, know just how angry they are and actually firing them, okay? But instead of firing them, what they do is they have a chat with them and they say, look, this didn't go too well, but what if we forget about that and I want you to do this, this, and this and see how you go, right? So what happens there in the brain of that boss is that they have to hold back their anger and they have to come up with a plan that may actually help the situation and be good for the employee and for themselves and put it reasonably on the table. And that takes a lot of energy, but good bosses will do that. And what they're actually doing is forgiving the employee and giving them a second chance. Now that happens in all of life, Hurricane, okay? And it's actually very good. But let's go into the brain of the employee, the one that made a mistake, and they go, oh my gosh, the boss is giving me a second chance. And in that brain, what happens is there's a release of oxytocin. And we have a lot of studies to show that this happens in business. Trust and even a challenge to do better releases oxytocin. And that handshake or the employee saying something like, boss, I'm going to try to do better next time. You can count on me. Okay. They both give each other a smile and they both feel good about each other. This is the whole thing. They feel good. And reconciliation and forgiveness and sort of saying, right, let's do better next time. That's one of the best feelings in the world. But Hurricane, it takes the boss to be able to put that energy of what I call the task active network. So that's the technical name for what goes on in the brain, and hold back their initial anger reaction to be able to do something like that. And that's where the energy is. And we all like to lash out in anger. And that's what happens on social media. So now I'm getting on to the second part of what you were talking about, that in social media, people want to take each other down. It's because social media works on a very emotive side of ourselves to bring our beliefs and our ideas and our opinions forward. And we feel like lashing out. And that's the kind of things that unfortunately gets hits and more views. All right. But even in social media, we can use what the boss did to sort of say, okay, let's give this person another chance and see how they go.
Well, you know, Doctor, I'm listening to you, right? And I have to say, listen, I've led a lot of teams over the years. I've been in sales. So you've had thousands of agents and folks that kind of were in the team, some, you know, at a point or another. And, I have to say, like, I've had those situations where something did go wrong. And as a matter of fact, if you're in business, something is going to, was it Murphy Law? I mean, it happens no matter what. What can possibly go wrong will go wrong. You know, you cannot plan for everything. Things do happen. You go to a situation and, you know, like you have an event and something is failing or whatever. Somebody doesn't show up. There's always something. And so you have to have contingencies and things. But sometimes people do. The report is not right. The numbers are not there. Something doesn't click. I mean, it can happen to everyone. It's how we deal with it. Now I get it. Listen, and I, you know, didn't know I can say this, you know, openly because I've said it in the sales shows, you know, I have terminated people physically, meaning from the employment, because I don't own the company. It's policy when you violate some sort of stuff, right? Or you don't meet, you know, performance. But I do have a rule that I applied all my life and I still will apply until the day I've gone. And that is you give people opportunities, you retrain people, you coach people, you help them, you mentor them. Now, if you give them all the tools and they just are not doing well, well, that's on them. I mean, you know, because I believe also that, you know, you've given opportunities to people to join you, right? And give them an opportunity to have to thrive. Now, providing, of course, you give them the environment to thrive in. I mean, that's the other thing. You, as a leader, you have to go. Now, you mentioned boss. I kind of don't like that word personally. I like the leader.
Sorry. Thank you, Hurricane. Thank you for correcting me on that one.
No, not correct.
What's the word I should be using? Well,
I use leader versus boss.
You know, leader. Okay, great. I'll use it too.
but you know what I mean? So the reason, and yes. By the way, that's exactly, you were actually right. Don't give up. What you said was right. That's the boss that is actually getting angry. But a leader, you know, is the one that actually takes that anger and converts it to positive energy and gives a reframe to the situation. And you know what? You take that as a moment of coaching and training, and now you have somebody that probably will do better because now they know what went wrong and what could have been done better. It's also not what you say, it's how you say it and how you approach it, right? So these are the things. And that's really the thing. It's funny you said that what gets, you know, the best views these days is all the nonsense, but you know, it is the world that we live in. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. But it's not. See, that's another thing. We keep saying that. It's the world. It's just. But guess what? The world is us. We determine those things. It's humans.
Yeah. So what you're saying is exactly right. And the thing is that the people who run social media, who design it, they are informed by psychologists that are actually the best psychologists in the world because they're getting paid a lot of money. So they know how the brain works. And because of that, they will do things to maximize the number of clicks, to maximize their return. And so we have to go into this task active network. So in other words, we have to make conscious decisions in our brain that will bring out, if you like, the more noble side of us. And I actually like what you said, that we use the language of a leader rather than a boss, because right there in the example that I used, it's the boss that gets angry and can fire somebody, but it's the leader that says, hold on, I'm going to hold back my anger and I'm going to give this person a second chance. But as you said, Hurricane, it's a balance. It's not just an either or. You don't always give somebody a second chance. If somebody needs a third, a fourth, or a fifth chance, then you go, hold on, they're taking advantage of me. I've got to be a leader here, and I've got to let them go. So it's a balance rather than an either or. But the exercise is always, can we hold back our anger and think so that we can respond rather than react with something that is worthwhile? And social media is designed so that we don't think, that we go into reaction mode really quickly. And that's why we get all this nonsense, as you call it, on social media.
Well, yeah, thank you for that. Well, you know, just on that same note, I mean, I this true story again, I actually have terminated people and hired them again somewhere else. And let me explain why. You know, for someone, and I wanted this message to go just to anyone out there that's running a team or they have a position of leadership. You know, I didn't terminate because I didn't like them or because of it. You know, there's performance, you know, measures and stuff after, for, you know, certain time. You know, I mean, I still have to report to someone in the company, and you have to meet the bottom line, whatever. So there's some of these things that happen. But I knew that this person, for example, was good. So when I met them at the second opportunity where I thought they would be a good fit, I gave him that second chance and the third, as a matter of fact, second and third chance. And I have another, you know, way of dealing with that concept. And that is sometimes, you know, you take someone that may not be good at a position and you find something else where they're going to thrive. And actually that works 100% of the time. You find what they're good at and you move them from one area to the other. Sometimes we put people in the wrong positions and expect them to make miracles, and then it's not going to happen. But you find what's cooking there, what's working with them, how they can, you know, make it work. You put them in a place where they thrive and they do well and they succeed, and they just jump to the ladder, right? And so those are some of the things. But really, it's just, again, this is how we deal with things. If we go like, oh, only bad thing, you're out. You know, I mean, imagine if that was actually the true rule around the world. None of us will be anywhere.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, Hurricane, what I want to do is distill this into a message so that anybody who is listening into this podcast is able to apply it to their life. Because what you're articulating, what a leader does, is they take an emotion that comes up in them, let's say it's anger, frustration, or disappointment, somebody's let me down. But instead of just going with that raw emotion and reacting with it and going with it, you mix your emotions with thoughts. And the thoughts go something like this: I'm disappointed in this person, but what am I going to do to get a good outcome here? And then you think, you think, you think, and you come up with a plan. And if in any emotion that we have, let's say it's anger for any of us, rather than just reaction, we take a bit of time, we think, and we mix our thoughts with feelings, our feelings with thoughts, so that we come up with a plan to get the right outcome. That's the way that we can all become leaders, at least of ourselves, if not of other people.
Thank you, Doc. Well, you know, again, it's, we are humans. We interact with everybody. And again, this show is about human and mental, you know, status, right? And I think mental drives everything else, right? And so, so I think we all, I love that, that advice. And we should all kind of like start to take a minute and apply some of these things in our personal lives, in our, you know, relationships, in, you know, our work, you know. And it's not just, I mean, business applies, you know, to life, life applies to business. And I think it's all one and the other. I mean, they're all connected. So we just have to figure out a way to do this. And we should, I mean, personally, I think, you know, even from a cultural aspect of things or religious aspect, whatever, you know, angle, you know, I think everybody has that personality. They can make that happen. We can give somebody like, well, listen, you know, something happened. I mean, listen, even in most of the religions, right, we have the concept of, you know, someone hurts, you know, forgive, right? You know, forgiveness is a big deal, right? And that's the thing. We can forgive people. People choose not to forgive and hold grudges, but you can. I mean, you don't have to forget, but you certainly can forgive and don't give it.
Okay. I'm glad you're bringing us into that area, Hurricane, because, again, this is actually, I know this is going to sound a bit strange, but this is actually not advice that I'm giving. I'm actually describing how the brain works. So I'm going to take you into the areas of the brain that actually make choice, because to hold back your emotions and to think about a plan takes a lot of choice in the brain, and it takes a lot of time to make that choice. And so that kind of happens in a place called the orbitofrontal cortex, which is right here, just above my eyes. And it's kind of the first part of me that walks into a party, because it's guiding me. And so the orbital frontal cortex gets impulses from your limbic system, where all your feelings are. So you're actually able to say, I'm angry, or I'm disappointed, or I've really been hurt. But it also gets input from your frontal lobe, where your beliefs, your memories, your planning, and your judgment is, and your values. And if you give yourself a moment, you can actually choose to respond to an emotion when you think about it, rather than react to a raw emotion. So it's in the orbitofrontal cortex that that choice can be made, the choice to forgive or the choice not to forgive.
Wow, amazing. Well, again, we have the control. That's the problem, right? You know, and so we are at the helm in a way.
Yeah, we don't always, unfortunately, because emotions are strong, and emotions can actually make us do things that can be dangerous and risky, which is why whatever you can do to give yourself just a few seconds to think and add thoughts to your emotions. And okay, so I've given this red light technique before, where if you see red because you're really angry, go to orange and think before you go and behave the way that you want to, okay? Because we're all just one step away of doing something horrible because of a feeling. But if we mix thoughts with it and just take a bit of time, then we can get a better outcome.
Yeah, that's like taking us to Lisa's question from last time, which is about emotion. Yeah, yeah. And you did say something powerful then, was, you know, we have emotions, but we're not our emotions, you know. And I think that's really it. I mean, we can, as you said, you can pause and just think, you know, what the hell? I mean, you know, it's funny, in movies you see this all the time, where they show you like a scene where someone like is beating someone, and then they show like, he was just thinking about her. She was just thinking about that whole thing. And he's like, no, this is not good. You know, it's that same thing. We can all kind of do that scene in our mind, you know, like, ah, I want to get this. You know how many times I want to do that? And then they're like, you know what? And you can see like all the best stuff. By the way, you know, you and I, we talked about a potential movie that may be, you know, lurking in the future for the network. Well, it's going to have some of that concept in that movie. So again, when that happens, folks, you'll enjoy that part of it, because this is actually going to be incorporated in the plot. So for those of you who have not known, you know, so we're working on something that's going to be like a social movie, educational kind of concept. But, you know, just stay tuned on that one. All right. Well, so while you are, you know, while we're there, Doctor, are we good with this question? Shall we proceed on the second one?
Yeah, I think it's time to proceed. Thanks, Hurricane.
All right, good.
I had to say that about emotions, because that's what happens. You know, I suppose an emotion came up in me that just needed to be expressed quickly there.
That's all good. You know what? But you said you got to express your emotions. Just make sure you control them.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a balance. A lot of life is a balance rather than a rule that goes one way or the other.
But you know, Doctor, just quickly, I mean, again, when you're on a positive spin, you can push that positive. I think you get all the good, you know, the good, you know, what do you call it? Like dopamine hit, as opposed to cortisol, yes, excitement that is really bad for you, right? So I think it's just you. We could, you know, tweak these things. Like, you know, I mean, I have a board in front of me here with all the mics and stuff. I mean, we can just dial up and dial down anything. We have that. I mean, that's really, you're the captain of the ship, folks, you know, or the pilot, whatever you want to call yourself, you know, and just do it for the good as opposed to bad. Again, you know, we talk about mindset. This is really like defining what the mindset is. I mean, is that correct? I mean, I'm getting that right. I mean, like, really, this is what feeds the mindset, isn't it?
Yes, the only thing that I want to add to that is it doesn't come automatically. If we let the mind go to where it wants to go automatically, that's when we become or more like a tiger or a lion or a rabbit, where we've got to express and react with our emotions quickly. It takes that energy. And so we have to practice actually putting the effort to go, wait a minute, let me think about this. And then let me act in the way that's going to get the best outcome. And that takes the energy. And when we're on social media, they have designed all of that so that we don't do that thinking, right? But it's good practice to keep doing that thinking. And when we're aware, or what people call mindful these days, we're in a state where we can make that choice. So one of my messages is that we've always got to give ourselves choice in any situation that we're in.
Well, you know, Doctor, so I want to just, I know we want to finish this question, but it's just like, it keeps bringing more stuff, you know? So this ties into the idea. Now, I know many times over you've covered this for our audiences, and that is that we do not have our front lobe and everything developed until like at the time of 25, and we don't even got our identity until like in the 30s, right? So this is actually crazy to even hear, because you know, now we can touch back to Australia and give them kudos again for that law that's going to be placed, you know, as the, you know, 16 and under may not be in social media. But now this just tells us that if you are not really fully out there in your mind and ability to act and think, you know, better, you will make those mistakes, and therefore you will be the one probably doing all these havoc stuff, and especially on social media, a lot easier to do it. So here you go. You have less ability to control, and you have this free access to do whatever you want. It's just going to be a recipe for disaster. And I think what you guys doing out there is going to maybe, you know, not really eliminate it, but I think it will give a different angle and prepare, you know, maybe the next generation to be better at, you know, operating in social media.
Yeah. And if we look at the extremes, then you'll actually see the principle, okay? Because it's, we can't let four-year-olds drive cars on the road. They just won't make the best decisions. And that's why I want to give a shout out to parents who guide their children. And as you know, Hurricane, with a child, you've got to guide them a whole lot more. In fact, you've got to take care of their very survival when they are very young. And the older they get, the more you just give them the reins of their own life, so that by the time they're around 21, they're kind of guiding their own life. And more you do that, but it's a gradual process. And if we let children loose in situations where they don't have the, and I'll call it emotional maturity, to make choices that are in their own best interest. I mean, good grief, Hurricane, let's face it, as adults, we can't even do that. and that's why keeping social media away from younger children is actually a good idea, because by its very nature, social media is designed to bring out our raw reactions rather than our considered responses.
Well, doctor, you know, thank you. And here's the thing. The next question is going to tie into social media too. So, hey, we're having a social media frenzy right now.
Let's go for it, Hurricane.
All right. So here we go. Let me just put it here. Oh, yep. Here we go. There it goes. This is a two-part question. As I'm watching social media, I'm noticing a trend with couples doing skits and live shows showing their personal lives and seem very happy. And then all of a sudden, I see the same couples fighting, arguing, cursing, and exposing each other, even divorcing. Is it pressure, influence, a curse, fame, or simply jealousy for one another? Mariam. Doctor, this is something I've noticed too. So let's talk.
Okay, so first of all, there's a lot of ways to attack this. What is there a question that you want me to answer about that? Is the question why? Why does this happen?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, it is an amazing thing, right? You know, like people go up, you know, couples. Listen, I mean, my wife and I, we do these things sometimes. We go on together. But I've seen, you know, couples that are like completely like cool and they are succeeding and they become very famous. And all of a sudden, poof. They're like anti each other and they go crazy at each other on the media. I mean, some of them were hoax and we've discovered those. Some of them were legit. So what yes. gives? I mean, is there a driver behind that?
Yes. Okay. So there is, and it's not good news, Hurricane. It's not good news.
Oh, boy.
But if we look at all of the species that are on the earth, with only a few notable exceptions, humans are about the only creatures on this earth that can lie. And social media gives us the opportunity to lie. Okay, so let's look at this very show, a Hurricane. Okay, we weren't going live when we were having problems at the start of this show, all right? Mm. We sort of held off and we said, you know what, those people don't need to know about all these problems. Let's start when the show is going to be good, right? So it's just natural for us to put our best foot forward because we want to put a quality show out there. But in putting together a quality show, all right, we actually don't show some of the things that go wrong. And all of social media is full of people showing what goes right and holding back what goes wrong. So if you look at your friends' Facebook accounts, it's full of the restaurants they've gone to, the holidays they've been to, the great experiences they have. Very few people will post when they're crying in their room, when they feel very angry, or when they've just done something deceitful. They're the sort of things that people don't put posts up about, okay? Does that mean that the people don't do them? No, it just means that we're getting a very filtered view of their lives. And Hurricane, you understand that. I understand that. We're all human. And this, in a way, is the problem with social media. It shows people in the light of the movies, something that's more of a fairy tale or more of an idealized picture rather than real life. In reality, a Hurricane, yeah, couples argue. Couples have got conflicts. Individuals have conflicts within themselves, but that's not what we put up on social media. So this is one of the reasons that I encourage people when they go onto social media is to understand that this is not real life. This is not reality. The more friends you can have, the more time that you spend with your family members and see the ups and downs that we all have in our lives and sharing them as human beings. This is what makes us feel part of the human herd. It develops trust. It develops compassion towards each other and kindness. Whereas if we think that other people have got a great life because of social media, that actually brings up disappointment in ourselves, anger and jealousy. And that's what then comes out in social media and leads to the situation where couples that have had skits and shows where they're all really well and then they're fighting it out in court somewhere, that becomes the reality and we get disappointed in that.
Well, that I have a great comeback for that because I need to do, but there is a comment I want to put up here because that's going to make you laugh, dude. So here it comes, and just hold on tight.
Is that Charles Bronson?
that made my day, man. I saw that. I was like, okay, we got to bring that up, man. thank you. How was that? A coward strikes back. All right, thank you. We appreciate that. here's the thing, doctor. Right. So I get it. And by the way, it is known. I mean, besides this show, we've had many other discussions where you know people give the best of the best of that they can. And you're right. You know, they're not gonna show you when they have a vulnerable moment or a bad moment. Although some people do that because it does bring in some views as well.
I just want you to hold that thought because I was just talking about how humans can lie, right? Because I just lied to you, Hurricane. Okay. You gave me a quote that was a Charles Bronson reference, and I didn't get it. Okay, because whatever movie that referenced, I haven't seen it. And when you said this will make your day, I was thinking of some other actor, okay? But I didn't want to sort of go, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, okay? So for the sake of the podcast, I lied. And I just want to let everybody know there that I do it too, okay? And that's part of human nature and part of social media. Back to you, Hurricane.
Well, first of all, this is exactly what, you know, your work is, you understand these things, you can work with them, you know, you identify them, you're able to see them, and you're able to actually, you're cool about saying that. Many people will not take that, the pride will just come up, you know, up front, like, hey, you can't say that, you know, you got to keep an image here, you know, so you got that part, but, you know, this is the cool thing, I mean, you don't have that problem, because you can eloquently, you know, state that with fun, and it's not no big deal. And there is no big deal, actually. You didn't know. Well, okay, what's the big deal? Now, Charles Bronson is an actor. I don't think he's alive, but you know what? I guess there was some resemblance. I don't know, but I guess our comment was about that. So, hey, you know what? He was famous, so you are famous, so it's all good.
yeah. But he was in that Death Wish series, wasn't he?
And that, so I sort of thought,
oh no, this could be dangerous territory. Yeah. and the nice thing is, and this is my privilege, I'm able to work in this area. Like what we just talked about then, it helps everybody because you go, oh yeah, I do that too sometimes. So that leads you to have just a bit more understanding and compassion for other people who do exactly the same thing, because that's what happened with those trending podcasts where the couples are all lovey-dovey and doing the skits, and then they're fighting it out in court, okay? It's the same thing.
Well, you know, it's funny, but that is a technique too. I mean, really, it's a good technique to practice, you know, when you can relate to someone by just being a truthful person to them about your own behavior, right? And how you are. Because I think sometimes people think, well, he is all sharp and the best, and you can't, you know, we're all human. I mean, at the end of the day, we all sweat, we all eat, we all go to the bathroom, we all have emotions, we all are, we're just not the best that, you know, people can think at all times. You know, we all have our down, you know, person. You know, there's the facade that we try to put out there. And there's the realize that, you know, that's why sometimes you see, like, you know, actors and stars out there get really excited when someone gets in their face and they're not in a good mood or a good day. I mean, sometimes they put up with it a lot, but, you know, you can't always do. Sometimes, like, you know what, they have push back, you know, that's it. And, you know, it's natural. And I get that. I think, but sometimes people use that to their own, you know, benefit. But for that question, because I've noticed this, I watch a lot of stuff. My wife and I, we just, you know, we live also on social media, but, you know, in the positive end of it, you know, we actually do good output. Like, again, I refuse to do bad things, you know. Yeah, like, listen, I mean, it is very easy for me to take any, you know, thing that's happening on the social media and just go and start bashing on that. That's the easy thing. I mean, I could put a picture up and start like, oh, look at this dude, you know, hey, what's going on with them, you know. That's actually not hard, I mean, to do. Again, I'm not criticizing people, but that is the easy one. But putting something that is positive, that has content, that has more meat to it, that's a lot more. And unfortunately, as you said, that's not where people are tending, you know, to have a good place to live. They'd rather get into that, you know, entertaining version of things.
And right there, you articulated the effort that we have to make in the brain to use our orbitofrontal cortex to make a choice to do things that will actually uplift people and help people on their path, rather than doing exactly as you say, Hurricane, the easy stuff. It's easy to go out there and criticize and to stir up controversy. But if you're going to have the value of helping other people, you've actually got to make the choice, and that takes effort. And that's exactly what you articulated just then, Hurricane.
Well, you know, Doctor, I have this very simple feeling, you know, or belief rather. It's either we are making a difference in life in a positive light, or we're really doing bad and hurting people. I mean, it's like there's only two kinds of people on this planet. You know, no matter how you slice it, there's the good people. Well, these people are the same, but either we choose to be good and thrive for better, you know, in this world, or we just kind of like, you know, try the evil side of ourselves and just continue there. And I don't think that's actually a flourishing world as much as the other one, because eventually that eats you up. You stay in the positive, everything stays. Even your body responds well. I mean, your health becomes better. So,
yeah, and I'm glad that you said that, Hurricane, because unfortunately what happens in social media, we start seeing people in categories, people who have been successful, people who have failed, people who are good, people who are bad, people who are honest, people who are dishonest. Whereas, as you just said there, Hurricane, we're all the same. We are all human beings. We all have the potential to do good and evil. And I've used this quote before, that the line between good and evil is drawn in the center of the human heart. And this is where choice comes in. This is where choice comes in. This is where the orbitofrontal cortex can say, I'm going to go the easy way and just lash out with my anger, or I'm going to give this some thought and I'm going to plan to get a better outcome, not only for myself, but for the people around me as well.
Well, thank you, Doc. Well, so Doc, I, you know, for the same question, you know, here's the thing, I, you know, believe it or not, my wife, Sam and I, we kind of have this debate all the time, like, because she has, you know, I mean, again, depends what social media you watch and, you know, what part of the world, there's all kind of dynamics that are going out there. But, you know, yeah, sometimes like we just kind of like, you know, what are you watching that stuff? I mean, I question, like, you know, that's like, that's not me. I mean, I would never, you know, but she kind of looks into this stuff. Like, what's that? But here's the thing. The same couples that are in the question, right? When you look at them, for example, I mean, why would you go public and bring your dirty laundry into the public and just kind of like, you know, a month ago you were like peachy and green and everything is sweet and nice and, you know, roses. And now all of a sudden it's all brown, dirty, you know, bad and ugly, right? I mean, like, what would you do that? Like, I mean, to me, that's like, you know, if my dirty laundry, I'm going to keep it, you know, I'm going to cover it, you know, as much as I can. It's not supposed to go out there. And I thought that was actually the normal thing. So the thing is, now it causes the idea, as you said, people lie. Is it really true that they're doing this, or is it just skit again to get more, you know, attraction in the world of views and following? Or is it really true? And if it is, I mean, how do you do that to each other? I mean, like, even like couples, you had family, you had values, you were together, you have kids. And now you, like, you know, go at each other like, you know, you guys are the worst enemies on this planet. I mean, to be honest with you, it just mind, but I don't know why they do it, and how, what part of the brain actually gets them to do this stuff, what kind of energy they have. But to me, it doesn't. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. But
yeah. So unfortunately, Hurricane, the pioneer psychiatrists of about 120 years ago articulated what drives us humans. And it actually comes back to this negativity bias that we started this show with, that for our survival, we can look at the bad stuff. But what drives us forward and what motivates us, unfortunately, is self-expression and aggression. And that comes together in social media. And self-expression and aggression and power can be expressed in different things. So at the moment, the currency for self-expression and power is fame. And on social media, the idea that there's no such thing as bad publicity. In fact, if I can put up some bad stuff but attract more traffic towards our site, then people will take that, because that ambition, that drive for self-expression and power is being fed. And that, unfortunately, is the psychological, well, one of the psychological explanations as why people will post up even bad stuff of themselves to get that traffic, because we all want to be known and accepted and liked.
Well, I mean, I think that's a fact that all of us, right? We do have that feeling of, like, you know, but not on depends of my values and my personal, you know, because some people will actually really look down on you. I mean, if you're really that, you know, they make a bad opinion about yourself. So you actually kind of like, yeah, you might get a hit now, but you're ruining your own, you know, personality and your own character, you know, in the long run. So it's really not, you're shooting yourself in the foot here. I mean, not helping.
Yeah, yes. Okay, so I've got to comment on that, Hurricane, because you brought in the magic word. The magic word is values, because neuroscientists can describe what's going on in the brain. So the orbitofrontal cortex will make a choice depending on the limbic system feelings and the frontal lobe thoughts. But what guides the choice that you make? And this is why so much of what Caroline and I do on our podcasts and in our website is value-driven. You have to decide what you value in life and what's important in life. And values is a huge area. So at the moment, I'm talking about your individual values, because you will make decisions based on those values. But every family has their values, every group, every religion, every subculture has its values, and all of society has its values. And on the social media, what it values is fame. The more likes, the better. That is a value. And so what I encourage people to do is have a really good think about what you actually value in life. And if you think about it, most people don't value a whole lot of likes. What they value is honesty, loyalty, love, friendship, somebody to talk to every night. And it's these sort of things that keep us from despair. So as an individual, if we can know what our values are and even have a list of them, then you will see how social media is actually dragging you away from those values and selling you a different set of values. And then in your orbitofrontal cortex, you can make a choice to say, no, you know what? I'm going to stick to my values. That's what you do with this show, Hurricane.
Well, thank you. But you know, it's again principle. You know, like in the music world, right? We hear this expression, one hit show, like, you know, one hit. What is it called? One hit wonder, right? You get a nice little hit, and that's it. You disappear. Well, it's the same thing. I mean, is that your legacy? And that's the thing. I mean, there's legacy, and what that legacy is going to be. I mean, history is plenty of examples where we have bad people in history that people remember as like ugly, bad, you know, the worst of the worst. And we have some people that have changed the world with creative stuff and inventions and solutions to the world that helps us today, you know, be better, right? And so it's really a question, where do you want to be? Which side do you want to be at?
So yes. Okay, so that brings me to something else, because we can shape our values depending on who we choose as our mentors. And males in particular need good mentors, a good soccer coach, a good mathematics teacher, somebody that they follow. And on social media, there are few people who will go and, let's say, find a mentor from history that they really admire, somebody like Albert Schweitzer. I'm going to use him as a mentor. Most people tend to spend their time with celebrities that are, let's say, not showing us the best side of their personality. And the more that we look at them for our entertainment, the more they subconsciously become our mentors. And I find this a pity, because when they become our mentors, they start shaping our values. And all of a sudden, we're making decisions that we don't want to make because of the mentors. So I've got a story, okay? Somebody came home from a church camp, and for 2 weeks on the church camp, they were happy. they came home and they got back to the social media that they hadn't been on for 2 weeks. And then after only 4 days, they were really grumpy and they were angry. And their mother asked them, "What's wrong?" And this girl says, "I don't know. I just hate life." And the mum says, "That's funny, because when you came home, you told me how great life was, how good it was to be alive, and it was just wonderful that you had so many friends." And the mother simply asked, "What's changed?" And the girl had to think about it. The girl was 17 years old. She said, "Well, I was out in nature playing games and getting to know people that really cared for me. Whereas now I'm alone in my bedroom and I'm back on social media." And then she said, "Maybe I should do more of the stuff that I was doing a few weeks ago and less of the social media." Now, that's hard to do, all right? But that was a light bulb moment for that 17-year-old female. And hopefully she is doing exactly that, getting more things that makes her feel good about life and makes her enjoy life.
You know, it's funny. Thank you for that story. And, you know, social media is not really social or sociable. It's amazing how it's contradictory, right? You know, like, yeah, we live in a world, but those people actually, there are, I guarantee you can pass by someone, you know, that you probably encountered in social media. They may not even recognize you in the real world, you know, and I've had that experience before, you know, like, so it's amazing that, you know, just because you interact with people, they may not, I mean, unless they really follow your work and stuff and they may, you know you and connect with you, that's different. And by the way, I love that. I mean, when you interact with people that you actually connect with on social media and you can meet them in real life, it's a great thing. But the majority of people, you know, they're not there for you. I mean, they just, yeah, okay, they like something that you say, they can criticize, whatever, you know, and that's it. But there's no real, you know, attachment to you. And that's the thing. So it's really not very sociable. I mean, sociable means we have common things, we connect. I mean, there's no real connection. And again, I may be wrong. I mean, obviously, I'm not an expert, and doctor, you can live with this inside out. So what's, I mean, am I getting that right correctly?
You're getting it totally right, Hurricane. Totally right. That social media is not social, it's virtual. It should actually be called virtual media. Because let's just look at the show that you're putting on here. You are using social media to get a very helpful message out there. But our relationship only went forward when we met in New York City. So now you are a real person to me. You've met Caroline, you've met me. And so I feel that you are real flesh and blood. And we keep planning as to when we can come together as well. But since we live on either sides of the world, this virtual media is the best that we can do. But we use it so that we get messages out there to help people in their lives. And that's what you do. But you're right. It's virtual media. It's not social media.
Well, thank you. Well, so, you know, there's something in that story that really, I think, and we're about to wrap it up because I know I was late a little bit. So, but here's the thing. When you gave the example of how people kind of look up at these stars and they, you know, subconsciously they become their behavior, they almost mimic them and become like almost their idols and do exactly what they are. And so their behavior, and we see that in fashion, we see that in style, we see that in the words, the walking, everything. I mean, it's really influenced by these behaviors and whatever, good and bad. Some are the greatest and some are really bad. I mean, you know, from your top dressed, you know, person to your, you know, bottom, you know, halfway naked, whatever the case may be. So it depends on the spectrum here and who's watching, you know, whatever that is for you. But the fact is, if you look at, again, we'll go a little bit, since we talked value and principles, religions, right? You know, I think we're almost losing those values through these things, because the influence has been a lot more difficult. I mean, in the States, for example, you know, the church is kind of losing some of that their following, because people don't really care anymore. They have a different thing. They have to adjust to this stuff. I mean, even Catholic church, for example, or Catholic schools, they had to kind of change their look and the way they behave and stuff and the way they teach, because, you know, they need to kind of adapt to the time. But really, is that really a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
Okay, so you brought up the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church has just lost its leader, Pope Francis, correct, who probably did his darndest to keep the Catholic Church in touch with some of the changes in society. But and this opens a whole new area, hurricane. But the thing about religion, any religion, is it comes with a set of values. And the idea of that set of values is it guides people through life, most normally in a positive way. And if we lose that, that means the question is, who is going to be setting the values in our society? And the answer is actually media mentors, celebrities, people who we call influencers on the social media. And we've got to always ask, what do influencers want? What are they actually going to influence us with? Because in the area of values, all of us can be persuaded to just start moving our values one way or the other. And we've moved out of a society, exactly as you said, where a church, whatever the church is, used to be solid there and almost dictating what the values are supposed to be. We've moved away from that, and there are advantages to that, and there are disadvantages to that. But the biggest disadvantage is that there are these void of people that have to figure out for themselves, in a very difficult society, what are my values? Why am I alive? What do I want to achieve in life? And how am I going to shape my life? How am I going to behave? That's a very difficult question, and very difficult for people to find answers for themselves without any guiding lights.
Wow. Thank you. Well, you know, I have to, I'm sorry, because you mentioned, and this is something that keeps bothering me. Use the word influencers, and we use this, you know, I mean, there's content creators, you know, that's that everyone that is on the social, on the media world, right? You know, especially new media, which is including social media. But then you have what we refer to as influencers, and it's a big term, like, you know, all these are influencers stuff, and brands love those things, right? But sometimes when you look at some of the stuff, like, what kind of influence is that? I mean, you know, you're not, I mean, you're influencing by behavior of, you know, some people just, they go in and talking BS, literally. I mean, but they influence. I cannot get my mind around. Like, I cannot, like, personally, I cannot find myself in that position where I'm just talking nonsense and still would be called, you know, an influencer. It's like, it doesn't add up, man. I don't know why. But I mean, are we making a blanket statement that everybody that's talking is an influencer? Now, I get it. Everybody influences everybody no matter what. You say two words, somebody can get influenced. But, you know, we should have a little bit more of a a criteria of what that is. I don't know. Maybe someone's like, what's wrong?
Yes, we should. We should. And there's hope. So we're going to end up on a hopeful message here, Hurricane, because influencers will lose their influence when we stop listening to them. So in other words, the power of choice is with us as individuals. And quite recently, and I mean just a few months ago, Hurricane, I have moved from being technophobic to being techno-optimistic. And it's all because my son actually led me to a very important study. And this study showed that when it comes to artificial intelligence, the more we rely on artificial intelligence and rely on their intelligence and pure reason, the more we will actually drift towards good moral decisions. Because one thing that this study showed is that with AI, the higher the intelligence, the more good their reasoning. So in other words, an AI machine will actually look to see what's good for the whole of humankind. Now, this gives us a lot of hope because it means that in the technological sphere, which includes social media, if we can actually be objective enough to follow the science, to follow what we're creating ourselves, the intelligence, then we will actually start moving into the direction of being more morally aware and more noble creatures, which means it's actually the intelligent thing to do is to be kind and compassionate to each other. And that opens a whole lot of things as to how to live and to answer this question, how am I supposed to behave? But embedded in the technology that we have for ourselves at the moment is a positive answer. And that answer is the more reasonable that we can be through artificial intelligence, the more that we will drift towards doing the things that are good for all of us together so that we can survive together.
Well, thank you, Doctor. And I appreciate that the idea that you're leaning towards the AI and all that. I can tell you this. You know, we've done a show about AI versus Dr. Klein. We did that, Dr. Heim. We had you against ChatGPT and it asked you questions. But you know what? Actually, since then, I've done a lot of work with the AI, you know, that's out there and the advanced versions of it. I have to tell you, man, it's you're right. It is a higher level of intelligence, literally. You know, I mean, it's not higher than human intelligence. So we kind of put it there, but because it has the ability to take every single scenario that's out there and process it in almost a ridiculous time and give you the facts that are out there, and it kind of analyzes everything and gives you a good response that makes sense. When you read it, like, oh, okay, so because it gives you all the facts, because it's faster than and it has access to all information. Now, we might be, you know, biased because we have one portion of the information. It's not. It takes all of it and kind of analyzes it and gives you like, well, this is the logic. And it uses logic, which is part of science, right? And so it gives you that, well, okay, it sounds logical, so I get it. So I agree with you. It's the wave of the future. And I still think that anyone who is kind of like behind the eight ball here with the AI is going to stay way behind. It's going to take them. It's moving fast. It's either you're on this train or you're not.
Yeah, it's moving very fast. But the exciting thing for me is the principle behind all of this, that the more that we rely on logic, the more moral and noble our decisions are going to be. Unless, of course, there's a human being that interferes with the AI and puts their own agenda onto it and starts giving it information that leans it in a certain area. But if we can go to the purely objective, the purely logical, we will actually find answers to better all of us.
Well, I hope. I mean, again, that's the doomsday concept. That's like Skynet and and all the stuff. Well,
it's actually not a doomsday. In fact, it's actually going towards a utopia. So in other words, we could actually get ourselves out of the mess that we've created for ourselves, according to this very well put together study. Quite complex, I got to tell you.
Yeah. Thank you, Doc. No, I was referring more like if someone does interfere and puts in the right information.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, that could be, you know, leading us to doomsday. But you're right. But you see, even that, I think at this stage, and I follow the AI, you know, wave, that I don't think even if we wanted to, we would be able to do that. I think AI has already evolved to a point where it understands the history, it understands, you know, the logic, the sciences, everything, and it can think of it. I mean, it really thinks for itself when you talk to it. I mean, I spend quite a bit of time with AI. I mean, it's a fact. I'm working on a project and it's deep dive with AI. And so it's amazing. I mean, I'm literally like, you know, I find myself talking to AI all day and for a particular project. And it actually interacts with you. It understands you. It remembers your stuff. It has memory. And yeah, you're right. Can it be influenced? Probably, you know, with whoever is programming. But I think we get to a level now that is evolving, you know, to a point where it understands if someone is malicious or not. And there's things like that. It can really detect these things that even a normal person may not be able to do it, you know, in the same frequency. Anyways, I mean, we exceeded an hour here, Doctor. So, you know, we've covered a lot of ground. I mean, really, we just, with the two questions, I think that we covered, but a lot of deep stuff that came out of those two questions. So, you know, I want to thank you, of course, as always, you know, for, you know, taking the time, being with us and sharing your wealth with our audiences. And certainly we'll be having another one again, just always the last Friday of the month. And if there's any change, if it's not that last Friday, it would be that next Monday of, you know, beyond that. That's just our fallback day. But otherwise, you know, do catch this, the replays everywhere, the YouTube, you know, Instagram, you know, everywhere is going to be playing. And of course, on the radio, iHealth Radio. So just, you know, download the app, whatever you want to do, or podcast, Spotify, you name it. We're like all over the place. Any radio directory, you put iHealth Radio, you'll be able to listen or go to our sites as well. So you'll be able, you can't miss the show if you wanted to. If you want to watch it, you'll see it. Or if you want to hear it, you'll hear it. So do so. And do send us the questions and, you know, the more. And actually, please feel free to join us live. Doctor is waiting for someone to jump with us on the call and be on the screen with us, you know, and have a discussion live and open. You know, keep it clean and hey, let's talk. It's an open world here. So, and anywhere in the world. So, Doctor, thank you so much for being with us, man. Appreciate you.
Hurricane, thank you so much. I enjoy it immensely. And it's good to hear that there's hope for us all, actually, even on social media.
Well, listen, I mean, it's a tool, right? We use it for good, and some people use it for otherwise, and hopefully the more good will just be the bad, right? So that's all how it works, right? I mean, those forces are always going to keep pulling, you know, left and right, and we'll just put the balance, you know, on the strength side, and that's it. And hopefully we're doing a part of that. And yeah, so, all right, well, listen, doctor, I know you got to go, and, you know, you're in way out there in the future. And that's all I have to say. All right, that's it, folks. This is the end of our show. So hope you've enjoyed our discussion, our, you know, interactions here, and we'll be talking soon. Bye for now.
Bye for now.